Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 73 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stufko.
How you doing today, Tristan Cannell?
I'm really well, man. How you doing?
I'm feeling focused.
Let's take a step in a little bit of a different direction today. We've got the co-founder and former president of Quest Nutrition, and that's Tom Bilyeu.
Yeah, man. These are those features where in episodes where we get to learn on the fly. This guy, the sports guys really come easy to us because we were athletes and we played sports. And that headspace, the mindset it takes to compete, really resonates with both of us. When we talk to a guy like Tom, though, who's created something from nothing, who's been successful on a couple of different platforms, and is really changing the game specifically with his business, Quest Nutrition, the headspace kind of, you know, switches a little bit rather than being able to relate. It's like now we get to learn.
Yeah, definitely. I agree 100%, man. Like, learning is the biggest thing. Like, we both have ambitions to do some big things in both business and fitness. So. Yeah. Kind of, Tom's done both, so, and he's come from an interesting background. You know, it's not just, if you look at him now, you'd think that he's a sporting icon from a young age, but that's not really the case. He had I won't spoil the story too much, but he comes from a family of, obesity is a huge issue in his family, so it was one of his driving factors behind Quest Nutrition.
And we all know, everyone listening, and Tristan and I, you know, from personal experience, how difficult it is to start and maintain a fitness routine. But when you start from like behind the eight ball per se of starting, you know, having obesity in your family, and then overcoming that and then using that as a passion to create a brand like Quest, I want to see if that was like the initial approach, you know, his motivations for it. Because the Quest bars, guys, I mean, I thought these things aren't only like healthy for you, but they're everywhere. Like before I moved here from Vegas, you could get them in like the 7-Elevens, and then I come to Sydney and they're all in our locker room, and this is the guy who is the brainchild behind them.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I use them every week, man. Like for me, especially on a Saturday, sometimes I don't get a huge amount of breaks between sessions that I run in the gym on a Saturday, so I always have one in my back pocket just in case. It's a little bit different from just having a protein shake all the time.
Yeah, so, man.
It's good. It tastes really good.
That's so right. They're actually delicious, and it was up until when, you know, we reached out to Tom to get him on the show where I started really digging deep. You know, you were sending me those notes on, you know, what Quest is all about. I thought they were just like making protein bars, but the story goes way deeper than that. So getting Tom on the show, you know, giving up some insight, what it takes. I think it's I don't know what the stat is. He'll share it with us. One of the fastest growing companies in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
It's on the top 5,000 list.
I think it was a second so for a company that's not listed on the exchange.
Okay.
So it's a private company. So it's the second fastest growing company in America last year. So that's huge when you think how big America is.
Yeah, and the opportunity for growth is just so substantial. I mean, there's rumors of them dipping their, you know, hands in MMA and in combat sports. So we're going to ask them about that and also get the headspace of where the vision came from, but also where he foresees the next step in his own personal evolution.
Yeah, I think we're going to enjoy this one because it's not just, like we said before, it's not just about the, you know, business side of things as well. Like, he's got an amazing story, the obesity part. Like, we've had some amazing clients come out through us through the times in terms
of... Give them a shout-out.
Example, like Varun, amazing life-changing... But when he came to you, like, what is it, 30 kilos he's lost or something?
Something like that, man.
It's crazy, man.
And the list
he's looking great.
He is looking great. And the list goes on. I think it's one of those things, too, that as a coach, maybe because it's part of our everyday routine, we might take it for granted, the effect we have on people in such a – it sounds simple. But sometimes all it takes for somebody to make that choice to change is one person believing in them.
Yeah.
And – you know, Varun, who you mentioned, and a guy like Tom, who not only experienced that, witnessed his family struggle with obesity, but chose to use that to make a statement and put his imprint on, like, you know, humans, as a big global impression. It's pretty impressive.
Definitely. I think today will be great to get an insider's perspective because me and you have been on the other foot where we've helped people. Mm. And even though we've sometimes not been, like, I know that you've come back from a time when you weren't training for 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
In terms of what they've come through, but in terms of obesity and being a little bit overweight, we haven't really had that. So it's great to get an insider's perspective on that.
Yeah,
so.
Perception is an interesting thing, man. Like, I know in America, the neighborhood I grew up in, it's a lot of it is socioeconomical, like where, like the nutrition choices, I'm saying, like maybe you don't come from a lot of money and the only options you could eat seriously are that 99-cent cheeseburger dipped in grease. And then you have whole communities who are like living off of these things.
America makes it easy for them to do it, right?
That's right, man. That's perfectly said. Makes it easy to eat unhealthy.
Yeah.
And I guess
it's kind of approaching that into Australia now too.
It's expensive to eat healthy, man. It's sad to say. It should be the other way around.
Yeah, you're right, man. All right, guys, before we get Tom on, just remember to quickly check out our ebook. We've put an abs ebook that's a free download on the website, so check it out. www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/ebook, or it's also on the homepage. Like I said, free download. You're going to get the abs program that me and Johnny use, and also just a quick sample diet so you can put that into action straight away.
Also, while you're on our page, go to /onit. Check out our amazing sponsor of the show. They really do a lot for us. Having our brand sponsored and backed by that brand is excellent. Human Optimization. If you're interested in taking your fitness, basically also ideas. You know, when I started getting into Onit a few years ago, it actually started changing the way I thought about supplements. I was the type of guy that, you know, thought everything was synthetically made, chemically made, and, I would avoid things. But, you know, they got the hemp protein all natural. They pride themselves on organic ingredients, Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech, all natural mushroom ingredients in there. Basically putting you, setting yourself up to reach that full potential. Find that on our website. They also have training equipment, t-shirts, stories about the products. When you're proceeding to the checkout, use keyword vision board to receive 10% off of all your purchases.
Yeah, the website's amazing. If you're lucky enough to live in Texas or be traveling there, definitely check out the Onit Academy with our boy Joe DeFranco's awesome gym that he's transferred from New Jersey.
You love Texas. You love Austin.
Rob boys there.
Full boy. Austin is fun. Yeah, check that out. Joe D, shout out. Great job with the new sub line. That's your boy.
Yeah, definitely is. Hey, Joe, how are you, brother?
Yeah, you know you're listening.
All right, guys, here is Tom Bilyeu. Our special guest is Tom Bilyeu. Tom is the co-founder of Quest Nutrition. He's living an incredible journey. After growing up with a family struggling with obesity, he's tackling the issue head on. Tom's on a personal journey in the health and fitness industry to help his loved ones and also the relationships with food and choices. He hosts a brilliant podcast called Inside Quest, and we're very happy to have him on. We welcome Tom Bilyeu. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. Tom, to get things started, thanks for your time. Could you talk with us and our fans a little bit about when you guys initially were getting the ball rolling with Quest Nutrition, what was the heartbeat? What was the drive behind starting that? And also, talk a little bit about how that initial motivation maybe has changed as your company has grown.
Yeah, for sure. So in the early days, it really was in many ways a reaction to the company that we had before this, which was a technology company called Awareness Tech. And we were making money, winning awards, and standing at one point in this beautiful conference room overlooking the Pacific Ocean. And we turned to each other and said, man, there's just got to be a better way to do business, something that's focused on value creation, something that we really believe in, that we have a lot of passion for. And while we founded the company for three very different reasons, if you were to look at a Venn diagram, the area that really overlaps our personal passions is nutrition. And so that became the path that we were going down. My business partner, Ron, is just insanely talented at nutrition. What he knows about human metabolism is ridiculous. So it was really an exciting chance to leverage a lot of his talents and skills. And then for me, growing up in a morbidly obese family, it was an opportunity to really help them. And looking at the problem, you know, when you really look at it, it's a pandemic at this point. And when you look at what the solution is, telling people to eat less and exercise more, it works for a narrow band of people. And for people that are willing to do that, they get in amazing shape. They look incredible, healthy as the day is long. But for the vast majority of people, food is really something that they eat for pleasure way more than sustenance. And so I felt like we really understood something that the food industry didn't seem to be tackling, which is if you really want to get people to comply with something that's healthy, then you have to give them food that they can choose based on taste, and the healthy part has to come along for the ride. And so that was what we focused on, making snacks and other food items that people could eat because they wanted to, they were really excited about, and we were doing the hard work to make sure that they were good for you.
Was it always going to be the protein bars? I love the protein bars, but was that always the initial intention for protein bars, or was it just something that evolved?
That was something that we could see a niche in the market that was being underserved. You know, there were so many protein bars on the market when we decided to start the company, but there wasn't any that we would eat. And so my partner's wife was actually making bars at home for us just because it was, you know, a nice convenient way to get some protein. And we started thinking, wow, could we commercialize this? Could this be that first product? And if we can find a way to get this shelf stable, then we could really have something. And that was how we chose that particular product. But, you know, looking at the business model, it really was wanting to play in the arena of food. It's such a huge opportunity to deliver value, to help. And the food industry has for decades just had a totally different approach, which for them, it was really all about making things taste good and making sure that they're cheap, and never really once asking, is it also good for you? And so we felt like there was a huge market opportunity if we could come in, make things that were tasty but also good for you. So we always knew we wanted to go beyond protein bars, but it was a great place to start.
Tom, if I were to walk you through our locker room down here in Sydney, Australia, you would see the locker room lined with Quest bars, different flavors. It's really an attribute to your brand and how it's growing. Could you share with us a little bit more, though, on what else is Quest Nutrition other than those protein bars?
Yeah, for sure. So we think of ourselves as a food company, not even necessarily a protein company, if I'm completely honest. And if you look at what we're doing in ketogenics, is a pretty big nod to us going beyond the traditional protein-based stuff. But we have a whole line of protein items from the bars, which is, of course, our marquee product. But we have protein-based chips. We have protein powders. We actually have a fiber pasta, believe it or not, and have a whole slew of amazing things coming up that I'm really excited about, including a cereal bar that launches here very, very soon. And that, I think, is going to be a big deal. Now, that one's protein-based as well, but introduces a new ingredient called allulose, which is really exciting. And I won't go too deep down that rabbit hole, but encourage you guys and your listeners to check it out. It's a really intriguing ingredient. So super excited to be bringing that to market. And part of what we do in terms of the R&D is just engaging with science, really looking at human metabolism. That was what led us to ketogenics and high-fat programs. So we're super excited to watch the science evolve there and to continue to develop products in that vein.
And could you also share with our audience as well, those who are listening who might not understand having your body in a state of ketosis or following a ketogenic diet, what that is, and talk a little bit about the benefits of that?
Yeah, for sure. So a ketogenic diet is really a it's a measurable diet. So you don't have to take anybody's word for whether or not it's working. It's something you can measure in the blood. So we'll define being in a state of ketosis as having 0.5 millimoles or higher of ketones present in the bloodstream. And that's how you know whether you're in ketosis or not. Now, how you get into ketosis, it's going to be different for different people, but essentially it's a high-fat diet with moderate to low protein and virtually no carbohydrate. But it's really, at the end of the day, whatever you need to eat to get your body burning ketones. And ketones are a byproduct of fat metabolism. So it's essentially proof positive in the blood that you are in fact burning fat instead of glucose. And that's really the key differentiator for a ketogenic diet, is you're burning fat as your primary fuel source.
Yeah, and just to give the listeners insights, because you're looking in incredible shape, what's a sample diet of your normal day look like?
Well, my days vary. So I fluctuate between high protein and high fat. So I spent about 8 months on a ketogenic diet exclusively. I wasn't cheating or anything on my diet, and it was really, really magical. I actually loved the way that I felt, and as somebody who struggles with inflammation problems, a ketogenic diet has worked wonders for me. It's really eliminated some joint pain. I actually wrote a whole article about my experience with joint pain and ketogenics, which you can find on the Quest Nutrition blog, which was just really, really miraculous, and really enjoyed my time on that, but found that if I cycle in and out of it and take days that are high protein when I'm working out, that I have an easier time building and maintaining muscle mass. So after that 8-month stretch, I decided to go on days that I work out, I'm going to go high protein. I still have relatively high fat, if I'm honest, but certainly not in a ketogenic state. And then 3 days a week, I'm in a ketogenic state where I'm eating high fat, moderate protein, and virtually no carbohydrate. So it's ends up being, because normally I switch about halfway through Friday over to ketosis. So it's about 4.5 days high protein and then 3 to 3.5 on high fat.
Tom, have you ever had a food sensitivity test?
I have not, no.
Okay, it's quite interesting because it's just a friend of our show, Joe DeFranco. You might have heard of Joe. He's a big strength and conditioning coach over in America, and he's launched Rebuild Joe D. So he went for a food test, a sensitivity test, and it was quite interesting because he's always been a big bodybuilder and things like that, and the food sensitivity test actually came up that he was allergic to things like certain forms of chicken, eggs, and also certain whey proteins. So, if you haven't done that before, it might be something that you might want to look into.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And I'll tell you another thing that I'm really interested in is the microbiome. And I'd be interested to know if people track their food sensitivity on what sounds essentially like an allergy test versus their microbiome, and if they would notice a change in food sensitivity based on the changes in their microbiome. And I'm telling you, this is going to be the future of certainly measuring in ourselves and maybe wildly influential in the way that people eat. And I've met some people that track their microbiome religiously. I met a guy that tracks his biome weekly, which is crazy in and of itself. I've never met anybody that tracks that. They literally throw money at the problem. And if you're willing to pay for it, you can test your microbiome. You could test your microbiome multiple times a day if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't think that it would do you any good. But it's just a kit. You can get it at home. You send in the sample, and a few weeks later they give you your data. And he was plotting his readings. And so it was so fascinating because he was keeping a journal of what he eats and then what his microbiome results are. And so you could literally watch him introduce new foods to his diet, which would cause certain species in his gut to flourish and others to, lower in number. I mean, it's just really, really amazing. And this is an area of particular fascination for me right now.
Tom, you mentioned earlier that obesity was a key player around in your life when you were younger. And if we talk about that on a broader scale with, whole communities in America and in Australia, per capita, they struggle with it as well down here, that with the obesity rates, in your opinion, do you feel that it's more of a, from the consumer, a lack of education, lack of knowledge? Is it a socioeconomical issue in regards to fast food being so affordable and being in certain areas of the community? And depending on your opinion on the issue of obesity, where do you feel systematically we could start with, solving this, or at least helping people getting better?
So I think it's an incredibly complicated problem that may have a very simple solution. And there's no question I'm grossly oversimplifying this, but it'll certainly give you an understanding of how we approach the problem. What we will ultimately learn about human metabolism and all that, I think, is just going to be like peeling back an onion, and we're probably still on some pretty outer layers at this point. And as we go deeper, we're going to just learn so much more. But I think if you really tackle the problem from how and why do people eat, and the answer is twofold. One, they eat what gives them the biggest dopamine rush, what just makes them feel incredibly good. And an easy example of that is if you've had a bad day, might I suggest a bowl of ice cream? It really will cheer you up. Like, it's crazy how well it works. It's delicious. It'll put you in a fantastic mood. The problem is that ice cream, certainly your traditional ice cream, is a metabolic disaster because it's so loaded with sugar. So people eat because they want to soothe themselves. They want to cheer themselves up. They want to celebrate. They want to bond with people. It's this amazing emotional reaction that we get from food, and food is so at the center of our culture, and it's essentially a drug, but it's the only drug that you can't go cold turkey. If you do, then you're done. So it's sort of this fascinating balance of psychology, and then that bleeds into physiology and the way the body actually responds to the nutrients and how some people respond differently than others. So if I could give you a grossly oversimplified solution, it would be to make food that people choose because it's delicious, because it cheers them up, because it puts them in a good mood, but it's actually good for them. And when I say good for them, I mean that you can measure the blood levels and talk to doctors that really understand metabolism, and they would say that your markers are going in the right direction, and whether that's inflammation markers or blood sugar or whatever the case may be, whatever they're looking at, that those would all be moving in the right direction. And if you can make a diet that people crave, they go after, they desire, and it moves their blood markers, their biomarkers in the right direction, I think you've really got a solution to the problem, because you won't have to worry about compliance because people want to eat it. And then you won't have this cascade of problems that we're getting right now with the food that people want to eat. And then the second thing you touched on, which is right on the money, is expense. You ultimately have to get the cost to a very affordable place. Otherwise, it's never going to be a global solution.
And for our listeners listening at home and through your experience, what advice would you give somebody listening who wants to make a change in regards to their nutrition, habits, even fitness and lifestyle? Maybe something that's worked for you in the past, or something that you've seen somebody in your family or your close circle use applicably that's worked for them?
Yeah, I'll give you my personal experience. And the thing is, there's no, as they say, there's no one path to heaven. So there's a lot of ways to be successful with your diet. I've seen people go high protein. I've seen people go high fat. I've seen people go high carb and have pretty stellar results in all of them. For me, the very simple solution was cutting out sugar and carbohydrates. And I used to be 60 pounds heavier than I am now. And when I embarked on, which at the time was a pretty traditional low carb diet, it was not ketogenic. I didn't know about ketogenics back then. I didn't understand fat at all. In fact, I went into what I'll lovingly refer to as rabbit starvation, which is a name for what used to happen to trappers back in the Wild West, where during the winter, the rabbits would get so lean that even though they were eating and getting plenty of protein, they were still dying of malnutrition because they weren't getting any fat. So I was taking about 85% of my calories from protein. I got lean. Oh man, I look great. But my wrists and my joints, they just hurt. And so that I didn't realize was tied to being so high protein and having, you know, so little fat in my diet. And once I flipped the ratio and was getting 80 to 85% of my calories from fat and then dropping down my protein and carb intake, then all of a sudden my joints felt fantastic. So I've sort of tried a lot of different things, but the thing that allowed me to lose weight and maintain lean muscle mass was removing sugar and carbohydrates. Like, it's just a nice, simple, if you do that, you're going to be way ahead of the game.
And could you give us an example of what a dinner plate with following that methodology, the ketosis with like the fats compared to the carbs looks like? Like, is it a piece of salmon, that sort of thing? Just so people listening at home could kind of identify while they're shopping.
I'll give you two examples. So one is high protein. If I'm going to be on a high protein diet, I'm going to be eating chicken breasts and broccoli. Steamed broccoli, no sauce on it. Salt's fine. The chicken breast is simply grilled, you know, no sauces or anything like that. This is what I did for a very long time. Was essentially at almost every meal, chicken breast and broccoli. I might do chicken breast and green beans, but it really, and I'm not suggesting people do that. It's a pretty mentally torturous way to eat, especially if you love food. But that's what I did, and it worked to drop the pounds. And then an example of a high-fat diet, which I've done to, one, maintain fat loss. So, you know, eating fat doesn't make you fat. Overconsuming calories of anything will cause you to put on fat. But just eating fat in and of itself, as long as you're controlling for calories, it will not make you fat. Certainly didn't make me fat. How about that? And that would look like a really fatty meat. So let's say a braised short rib or something like that, which is just wonderfully, wonderfully high in fat. I might put some avocado on that, which is absolutely delicious and adds to the fat ratio. And then maybe a side of macadamia nuts, or if I'm really going crazy, I might put coconut oil or olive oil on it. And anybody that's not familiar with ketogenic diet right now, of course, assumes that my heart is going to explode. I'm not going to make any claims about the diet. That's just a bad way to go about things. So I will encourage people to do their own research and look it up. But as somebody who checks his blood levels quite routinely, I do full blood panels multiple times a year. My numbers have moved in a great direction. But again, I go back and forth between protein and fat. So,
Tom, what was the, in terms of what you got out of going to keto, is it better sleep? Is it better mood, energy? What's been the benefits of going towards the diet?
You'll hear a lot of different people point to things that were, you know, really impactful for them when they went keto. For me, it was very, very simple. My joint pain, I had suffered from chronic wrist pain for 15 years. I was icing every night. I iced so much that I actually had what I thought were permanent burn marks on my wrist from where the, you know, the bone sort of sticks out. And so the ice would really press hard against that. And I just thought, well, this is how life is going to be for me to manage the inflammation. I have to ice. And so that's what I did. And then when I went into a true ketogenic diet and sustained it, the pain went away, and I haven't iced my wrist now in 2 years. So it's really been for me, and these are all N of one. I'm fully aware of that. I'm not saying any of this stuff is a clinical trial, but from my own personal perspective, it was utterly transformative. And I'm like one of those crazy zealots who just wants to tell anybody who will listen, because it was so impactful for me. Because to when you have chronic pain like that, it's just like this background noise. And to one day have that go away was pretty remarkable.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing an insight into your diet. I'm still pretty intrigued. Can you just give us a little insight now into how you train?
Yeah, so first of all, when I train is probably even more important than what I do, because I do it first thing in the morning, and that ensures that I don't skip it, which, you know, I forget the exact phrase, but it's like the bad routine that you stick to is better than the perfect routine that you don't. So I work out first thing in the morning, and I usually, at least right now, I do a push-pull legs split. So I'm doing back, biceps, forearms. Next day I'll do chest, shoulders, triceps, then do legs, abs together, and rinse and repeat.
Awesome, man. Just taking you back, what I'm also intrigued about, just taking you back to the start of Quest and your business partners, just with Ron Penner and Mike Osborne. Did I pronounce that right? Osborne, yep. I just wanted to ask you, because you guys had a business before together, how did you guys meet?
They actually saw me giving a lecture on media and how you can influence buying behavior, and they actually technically how you could influence behavior. And then they thought, wow, we're starting this company. This guy's pretty sharp. We need a copywriter. And so they offered me a gig as a copywriter and then proceeded to completely change my life and introduce me to the world of being an entrepreneur. And it was a pretty miraculous ride, I have to say.
Definitely. Is marketing kind of where you see yourself? Your strength, because I see yourself a lot on social media. You know, I know that you stepped away a little bit from the day-to-day running of things. Is that kind of more your strength compared to your partners?
Yeah, so marketing for sure, both sales and marketing have been my primary focus at Quest. Marketing is my passion only. And it's way, you've really got two ways to bring value to people, which is the thing that absolutely sits at the center of my universe. And way one is product. And if you make an amazing product, like that's going to deliver value. And I think that my business partner, Ron, who heads up the product development, he is just crushing that.
Yeah.
Ron is absolutely crushing it on the product side. I mean, what he's doing is really, really incredible. And so that's way one, where you can really add value to people's lives. And then way two is through the marketing. And I don't mean that in the traditional sense, but we're living in this incredible time where you can do truly value add marketing. You can create a community. You can provide them videos that aren't necessarily promotional, but they're trying to uplift, they're trying to educate, they're trying to inform, whatever it is that their goal is. And then because people feel like, whoa, they put out all this content, they're not trying to monetize it, like they're really just trying to give us something great that's usable in our lives, then they feel this affinity towards the brand, they feel well taken care of, they feel connected, and there's transparency, right? So that they actually feel like they know the people behind the company, which I think is a big deal in the era that we live in, to have this hyper connectivity between the brand and the people that are using the products. And for me, it's like the coolest time ever to be in the game of business, because you can be yourself, you can support people, you can connect authentically, and authenticity is the key. You can connect with people authentically basically really help them and deliver value to their lives, and they reward you by being loyal to the brand. So it just lines up perfectly with my personality.
I totally agree with that point about being able to connect with people and providing content. So Tris and I, you know, we're really intrigued by when we chat with gentlemen like yourself about successes through failure, successes, the lessons learned through success. Could you share with us a little bit about maybe a very important lesson you learned through maybe a failure and how you were able to use that adversity to help you promote your brand, yourself, and grow as a person?
Yeah, man, my mistakes are legion. and that's really how I look at the world is, at the end of the day, if you go in and say all of life is but disciplined practice, and no matter how many times I fall on my face, no matter how big the mistake might be, there's something that I can learn in that. And if you pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and really look at the lesson to be learned without ego, man, and that is the key. You've got to do it without ego, because everything in your brain is going to scream at you to come up with a narrative where you look like the rock star instead of owning like what you did wrong, what you could do better. And once you have that, like once you know what you can improve, now you can get better the next time, right? And it's never sexy. But if you're doing that and adding like those skill bricks on top of each other, you can really build something incredible. And so honestly, giving like specific mistakes is always difficult, because it's like there's so many, and they're usually sort of minor and slippery. It's not like, you know, a super simple concrete thing. It's misjudging this piece of content or the timing of a product release, or, oh man, we didn't meet a deadline that we had promised to a supplier. You know what I mean? It's always stuff like that, but I make mistakes every day. Some seem terrifyingly catastrophic and others are minor, and you just have to take them all in your stride, put the ego aside and ask, what's the lesson here to be learned?
And could you also share with us that moment when it hit you? Maybe it was a specific incident where that aha moment happened when you were like, oh my God, this Quest thing, you know, we just started a movement. When was it? A phone call? Was it an email? Was it you looking at your analytics and seeing that this thing is taken off? What was that like when it did happen?
There's been a few really like stop me in my track moments. And number one was the first time that I realized when we were ordering some ingredients and the ingredient was going to take 4 weeks to show up, that we had to account for the amount that we would grow in those 4 weeks, because by the time it arrived, I would need more than I did on the day that I placed the order. And I thought, wow, like when you're growing that fast that you have to account for 50 or 100% more of your need today, 4 weeks later, I mean, that's crazy. So that was a real moment. And then we held a job fair a few years ago, and people lined up around the block just to be interviewed for a shot to work at the company, which was amazing. And then we've had multiple people get tattoos. So not that I'm encouraging that, but that was definitely one of those times where I was like, whoa, like we are now officially more than a protein bar.
And to become an employee of Quest, because I listened to you on Lewis House, and that was a brilliant episode as well. And you were just talking to Lewis about your process for bringing on people to be employees at Quest. Can you just share with our audience that process?
Yeah, so it's ever evolving. So when I was on Lewis, it was probably a lot different than it is today, and changing is obviously a critical part of this. And this is something actually, so speaking about mistakes, is something that I think I was really slow to change my style of onboarding people. In the beginning, it was really, really fascinating. And all I cared about was, I don't care who you are, I want to know who you want to become and the price you're willing to pay to get there. So in the early days, we had people working the production line, literally, that were Crips and Bloods working together on the same line. It was crazy. We had convicts, we had former drug dealers. I mean, it was nuts. But we were producing in a low-income area, and it was like, if we could give these people hope, they would just go in and work themselves to death, like trying to get better and improve and really give themselves to the company, because it felt like the company cared about them. I had one guy tell me, you care more about my success than my own mother. And I was like, whoa. And when you see somebody, and the same guy said, you know, for the first time in my life, I'm thinking about my future. I thought, man, like, that's so crazy. But imagine giving somebody hope that's never had hope before. The guy that I'm thinking of, his sister was shot to death in his front lawn with an AK-47. It's just many of the guys from the early days grew up unbelievably hard. And so getting people on the team that had that kind of heart, man, was just incredible. But then as you evolve, honestly, you've got to start looking for people that have more experience. You've got to have people that are more buttoned up, because you're just getting so many people that if you don't have people that can carry that message forward, that know business, that can teach that stuff, that can continue to create opportunities, that aren't learning on the job, they already know it, then you can really build a lot more stability into the infrastructure. And that's something that I was really slow to respond. And when I look at my own skill set and what I've been developing and what I've been getting good at, it wasn't that. So I've moved into a founder role with the company now, in part because of things like that, like really looking at where is my skill set, what am I good at, what do I want to keep getting good at, what does the company need? You start to realize, whoa, the company actually needs a skill that I don't currently have. And so bringing people in and understanding how to evolve your own role is super critical. So yeah, that's all been part of my evolution with the company.
Can we talk a little bit about, Tristan mentioned earlier about the interview with Sugar Ray Leonard and you were on Lewis. Talk about Inside Quest for us and what, you know, what it feels like when you're interviewing, where that inspiration comes from of wanting to ask questions and learn, and the importance it is for your personal evolution by having these people on your show.
Yeah, so I did not show any signs of early potential. So when I was a kid, you know, I was not voted most likely to succeed. I was like really scared to go off to college, and my mom all but kicked me out of the nest and said, you know, you need to go follow your dreams, which I did. And then my mom has spent the, you know, last whatever 22 years since I left home, like trying to get me back. So one day I finally just asked her, and I was like, you were the one that kicked me out. Like, if you wanted me to be home so bad, why'd you push me so hard to chase my dreams? And she said, because I always assumed you were going to fail. And I was like, whoa, it was such a cool gift to have been supported. My mom was always my biggest cheerleader. She pushed me to excel and succeed. But to know secretly, deep down inside, like, she didn't think that I would succeed. And so you sort of replay, like, your whole life. And I started asking myself, like, you know, that's true. Like, I was super lazy. I didn't know anything. I cheated my way through high school. Like, what happened? Like, at what point did I snap out of the matrix, realize that I could control my own destiny and start learning the skills that I needed to be successful? And so that's been utterly fascinating. And so that's why I have this learner's mentality. That's why I wanted to do Inside Quest, because I have over time developed a mindset that, in my language, pulled me out of the matrix, has allowed me to achieve at the absolute highest level. I mean, we took a company from nothing to a $1 billion brand in like 4 years. I mean, it's nuts. And so having gone from scrounging in my couch cushions to find enough change to put gas in my car, and that is actually a true story, to, you know, running north of a $1 billion brand, is like, I wanted to give that back. And I promised myself that, hey, you've learned all this stuff. It's completely changed every aspect of your life. You need to pay that forward. And so I at first was trying to get other people to tell the story of Quest, which to me is, you know, because my business partners, they're way cooler than I am and just absolutely incredible human beings. And people just weren't telling our story. And so, and they weren't telling it because I didn't know how to convince them to tell it, but I knew that I could tell our story myself. So we launched Inside Quest with that in mind, with wanting to show people what's the mentality that drives Quest. Like, What is that hunger to learn and grow and get better, and how does that manifest itself in the business world?
Yeah. Where do you shoot Inside Quest? Because it's quite a cool little studio you've got. Is that on headquarters?
It is, yeah.
Awesome. And like I spoke about before to you with Sugar Ray Leonard, did you expect Ray to be that open and honest with you?
I didn't, but if I'm, you know, honest about what I'm trying to do on the show, I'm trying to get people that I really respect, that have inspired me, that have taught me, and I'm trying to create a space where they feel like this isn't just a normal interview. This is somebody who's really been impacted by you and wants to help you share that with more people. And so many, many of the guests that have come on have just been incredibly generous with their insights, letting their guard down, really talking people through you know, what they've gone through so that other people can learn from it. So I didn't obviously know that he was going to be that raw, But he is so cool, man. Like, in person, that guy is for real.
Tommy, have you ever caught the Arsenio Hall episode from the late 80s with he was interviewing Muhammad Ali, but Mike Tyson at the time was the champ. Sugar Ray Leonard was still fighting, and they both came on set. And it was Arsenio, Muhammad Ali, Tyson, and Sugar Ray Leonard. Have you ever seen that?
I have. That was crazy.
How amazing. That's that spirit. Like, when you see Ray, man, he just exudes that. He almost has, like the kindest nature. Was he like that in real life?
Even more so. I was literally shocked. That guy is a good human being. He is kind. He is generous. He was incredible. Really, really incredible.
That's amazing. I'm really, to switch gears here, I'm really starting to learn and try to apply it to my own life lately, the law of subtraction, in ways of not necessarily needing more, but finding ways to expedite my everyday life with maybe habits that no longer suit me or behaviors such as. Is there anything in your life recently that you feel that you've been able to subtract out that has helped you grow?
That's interesting. The biggest thing for me right now is the transition to a founder role with Quest. That was a big transition. And doing that really forcing me to look at, like, what do I want to get good at, right? So I'm not delivering as much value to the company as I want. I think that the company is lacking a skill set. I don't have it, and now I have to decide, do I want to get it or do I want to transition? And so looking at my passions, looking at the things that I'm good at, that I want to get even better at, that really pitch to my strengths and my obsessions, quite frankly, led me to do that. And I think the thing where I can really deliver value is broadening the sense of wellness from body, which is where most people think of it, to the body and the mind. And when I think about the changes in my life, they've all come from the mind. And so stepping back out of the day-to-day roles and responsibilities at Quest and focusing on now building an entity that is entirely focused on that 360 degree idea of wellness is really exciting. And, you know, look, it's an honor to continue to speak to people as a founder of Quest. And I believe in that company as much today as any other day in my life. It's just, it really, really blows me away. But being able to create something new and broaden people's vision of what wellness is like the central passion of my life. So I'm really excited to do that, but I wouldn't have been able to do that unless I was willing to give up the day-to-day operation. So perfect example.
Awesome. And one product I did want to just touch base on, I saw on Ron's Instagram the other day, he had a 3D striking pad. So it virtually was instead of a flat boxing pad, it was like a full face guy on the pad. Is that something that you guys are going to be bringing out to market?
That's actually out on the market. So that was Ron's passion. He is a dedicated martial artist. That dude is a total badass. Yeah. And he just really believes that there is a better way to train instead of striking focus mitts, that if, you know, somebody took the time to build a head that was realistic, that, you know, felt like, without obviously damaging your hand, but it feels like a real face. It has a real nose. It has ears. I mean, everything is crazy. So yeah, he and a team at Quest spun off into Quest Training and created that thing, and it's really, really pretty amazing. And if you know Firas Zahabi, up at TriStar Gym, they train with it, and I'll be really interested to see how far that goes. It's a super unique invention.
Awesome. Just before, we've got a couple questions. Just for, I know your time's very, very valuable. Johnny's also got a business meeting that he has to jump out to. I was just intrigued if you're into books and anything that you're currently reading.
Oh, I am wildly into books. I'm obsessively into books. In fact, I just published an article in Success Magazine or Success Magazine Online about my reading habits, something that I get asked about a lot. And I credit my success to reading 100%, which for me is all about skill acquisition. It's, you know, learning easily what other people have learned with great difficulty. And so reading is at the center of my life. I do it every day. It is absolutely the rarest of rare days where I don't read at least a little bit. And what I'm reading right now is called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. I'm not sure if it's Toll or Tolle, but
yeah. I've given that book to Tristan before.
Nice. Yeah. Tristan, have you read it? That's the question.
Not yet. Not yet. My things to do.
Yeah, Tom, have you read Stillness Speaks?
I have not.
It's another Eckhart Tolle, man. I'm really fascinated with him and his nature and his spirit. But The Power of Now, I feel, I'm just going to make a prediction. Once you finish that, it's probably going to be one of those that you give to people.
Interesting. It's really impactful. Yes. There's no question.
Yeah, being aware. That's awesome. And then, Tom, sorry to cut you off on that point. One of the questions Tristan and I like asking a lot of our guests, just a little bit of a personality question. If Tom Bilyeu was having a dinner party, you get to invite 5 guests. They could be dead or alive, but they can't be your friends or family. Who would Tom invite? Who would you invite?
Man, what a dope question. All right, let's really be thoughtful about this. Okay, so I'm going to go with one that may surprise you, and that is Stephen King. And the reason I say Stephen King is I owe him a debt of gratitude. He is the reason that I started reading. So I hated reading, wanted nothing to do with it. My dad pestered me all the time about it, but I just kept shooting him down. And then he gave me a book called The Gunslinger. And he said, if you read this and you still don't like reading, I'll never bother you about it again. And I read it, and it blew me away. It captured me from the first sentence, and that began a long love affair with Stephen King books, which then helped me get better at reading, which then led me to nonfiction, which then, you know, began my whole personal development kick. And but at the end of the day, it really did start with Stephen King, and I think he's just utterly fascinating. The guy is just an idea factory. So he would definitely be on the list. Elon Musk, who just inspires me to absolutely no end, I think would be a good person to have. Anybody that is willing to say, you know what, we need to get off this planet, and I'm going to build all the things that we need to do to get to Mars. It's like there are people listening to this podcast right now that they want to do something with their life, but it seems so overwhelming to them that they don't. Yeah. So at times like that, I remind myself, dude, this guy is trying to get us to Mars. Yeah. Like, that's nuts. You have to invent rockets to get to Mars. So whatever it is that...
Did you hear what his ideas are to get light up there?
I have not.
Oh, my God. He was talking about... Well, the science behind it is he wants to send these missile-like apparatuses up that will be filled with... some type, I don't want to say hydrogen, you should Google it. And what it's going to do is when it gets into Mars' atmosphere, it'll explode and just stay lit and just float in the atmosphere to provide light.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, see, that's if anybody else said it, you just like, that's a crackpot idea.
Yeah.
But with him, it's like, hey, maybe it'll work. So that guy is just, it's so cool. And look, I don't even care if he fails. I just love that he has the willingness to dream it and then try to execute against it.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, only execution matters, but it's like just having the guts to really give it a go and not pretend to give it a go, but like really go after it, it really, really inspires me. All right, now I feel like I need some dead people because honestly, like if you waste them all on living people, that just seems like a crime. Who would fascinate me? So... Einstein is somebody that I am really fascinated by. He's definitely a time pressure answer. I'm going to be honest. If I had more time to think about it, I'd come up with somebody a little less conventional. But he's on my mind because of a book that I read by a guy named Thad Roberts. It's called Einstein's Intuition. I encourage anyone who has an interest in physics to read that book. It's a little dense, but his theories are in contention for the grand unifying theory of all of physics that brings the Newtonian models, the Einstein model of general relativity together with quantum mechanics. It's crazy. I love that book. Really, really enjoyed it. So anyway, that's why Einstein's on my mind. Who else is dead? It's just fascinating beyond measure. Man, if it wasn't for my utter fear of dead air, I would really sit and think about this. So Steve Jobs would be awesome. I think he's probably a little painful in person, if I had to guess, depending on his mood. But what that guy did in business and his ability to believe in what he was trying to create and against all odds, make it happen and just keep coming back is breathtaking. So he's been a huge inspiration. And then I'll go with Benjamin Franklin. And if you guys have read the Isaacson biography on Benjamin Franklin, it is fascinating. That dude was amazing. The way he trained himself how to write is a tale for the ages. I mean, it's really, really incredible, the systematic way that he set about to improve. People that are obsessed with that level of self-improvement, like, they have me at hello. So, yeah, there's my table.
Definitely. Some awesome answers there, Tom. We really appreciate your time. Just before you go, what's the best way for people to connect with you online and on social media?
At Tom Bilyeu. And only catches, my name is spelled a little bit weird. It's B-I-L-Y-E-U. But you can hit me up on Twitter. You can hit me up on Instagram. Yeah, that's the best way.
Awesome. We'll have those all in the show notes. And guys, remember to check out Inside Quest as well. Tom, such a pleasure to speak to you, man. You've been a, you know, for me and Johnny, on our own little journey, you've been a great, you know, source of inspiration. So we thank you for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and Stephen King, too, just to throw in, King wrote probably two of my favorite movies and books, Shawshank Redemption and Stand By Me, The Body, but that's a good call on Stephen King.
And you know that those are both from the same book.
No, really? So Shawshank was from The Body?
Shawshank is from, so The Body and Shawshank Redemption, Apt Pupil, and then a fourth, more science or fantasy, they're all short stories in this book called Different Seasons or Four Seasons. I think it's Different Seasons.
All right.
And and I remember so the book is called or the story was called Rita Hayworth and Shawshank Redemption. And read it, super weird title, right? I'm like, well, okay, that's super bizarre. The story was amazing. And then when the movie came out, I'm like, oh my God, I think that's based on that Stephen King short story that I read.
Yeah.
Which, of course, it is. Love the movie and the short story.
Excellent, man. Thanks for sharing that with us and inspiring us as well, man. Tom, you be careful and have a good day, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Speak soon, Tom. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Great. I'm really glad that we did that episode, Johnny, because I'm... really left me kind of motivated for the rest of the day, gave me a few new business ideas, and, you know, it's not every day that you get to talk to someone that's achieved the business success that Tom has.
Especially when, like, you're interviewing and talking to the guy of products that you use or products that you tell your clients to get involved with. When we said that we were interviewing the, you know, co-founder of Quest, we were getting messages, pictures, one of my clients... she actually sent the photo on my Facebook of the Cookies and Cream Quest bar. So, like, the insight is invaluable, like, to actually get it firsthand about, you know, the mindset it takes and, you know, continuously the commitment to get a business to where it is, especially with the growth and success of Quest. Is, I mean, that's why we do the show. You know, you get to learn. We get to brush shoulders with these guys. And one day, you know, the goal is to get to that point.
Yeah, definitely, man. But, you know, I love Quest Nutrition, man. I'm going to have one in a minute.
Yeah, man, I was shot. The whole thing with the sparring pads is pretty interesting. He basically, the way he said it was, it sounds like they have subdivisions of Quest. Like the
It's, I guess, once they've got such a dominant brand for the actual bars creating the revenue that they can kind of branch into different little realms. And, you know, the new products coming through are great and just shows the development and creativity behind the brand, like. But even the brand extension, in terms of Tom's podcast himself and the show that he hosts in their studio, like, it's some deep stuff. Like, I know we brought up that episode with Sugar Ray Leonard, but some great episodes. Like, there's one I listened to the other day with Steve Aoki, and, you know, Tom's actually a really, really good interviewer. So he's got a quality program where, you know, I think he gets it. He's looking after people is his number one priority, and, you know, it comes out, and he's giving a lot of free content away. Even the bars, when you think about it, it's like $4 a bar or something in Australia, so it's not expensive. So they're doing a great job.
Nobody gets to where a guy like Tom is by fluke. So him being a successful businessman, him being a successful manager, a successful and talented interviewer, it just goes to show, and it's, in my opinion, a direct correlation just with being focused, committed, obsessed, and switched on. I think that there's parallels with so many different skill sets once you have that mindset of, I have a mission, I have a goal, my intent is in the right place, I want to help people, and I think things just will tend to come together, especially if you're surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yeah, definitely, and when you think about it, I think teamwork comes into it too. Like, he's got two business partners that... this is their second business that they've launched together, I think, by memory, or second high-profile business they've launched together. And it's good to see they're all sharing the workload. They're all kind of playing to their own strengths. So it is very important. You know, we've, in terms of business partner selection, it's huge. You know, we've both been through it, so they've got a really good chemistry, and like I said, they play to their strengths.
It really reminds me of what Tom and his, you know, business partners have achieved with Quest. It reminds me of this speech that Gary Vee was giving about finding the white area or the white space, and he wasn't narrowing it to one specific industry. You know, it has correlations with business. If you're in fitness, if you're a teacher, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're creating any type of product, you have to look at that industry as a whole and then identify areas where you could be different. You're not going to change the world. You're not going to really impact, or I feel, reach that full capacity of your culminated potential without figuring out a way to find that white area. And they've done that with Quest, with the Quest bars. Like you said, a very delicious product. The packaging's excellent. And you go there and there's not like four varieties. There's like how many different flavors? It's ridiculous. And they all have their own individual, you know, pretty much delicious taste. I've actually never had a Quest bar I didn't like.
Yeah, that's true. I switch between five or six of the different
Think about flavors. That. I mean, think about Snickers. Think about Twix. Think about all the bad candy bars there are. And pretty much, you know, the rule of, like, simplicity. Let's find a recipe that works and stick to it. He didn't do that. And for a company to, like, really gamble on something as, like, a protein bar when the fitness industry is pretty much inundated with protein bars.
Mm.
But his white space was what? Ingredients, marketing, packaging, but value. And he was like, forget four or two or one flavor.
Yeah, that's my 20.
You know, it's pretty interesting when you look at it and not even worry about, you know, the exclusivity factor sort of thing.
It's actually an interesting point that you brought up. You know, they did actually tackle a market. You know, they did see an opportunity, but at the same time, it was a saturated market.
Yeah.
And I guess it's quality that put him apart, because there is a lot of shitty protein bars out there in both taste and the product type. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, they feel both, so.
Yeah, last October, before we launched the show, I did the Sydney Fit Expo, and I had a booth there, and it was a little, you know, a little startup, but the point is, there were probably, like, the one thing I remember from the Fit Expo was, like, how many protein bar companies there were.
Yeah, I remember.
And how they were all different, but they were all the exact same. The packaging was, you could tell they were shaving some scents on it. They were cutting corners on that, and the taste, it was like, nothing really jumps out at you.
Yeah.
But when you get a Quest bar, you get it. You're like almost like, oh, this is different. Is this really healthy?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you do have to sometimes question that sometimes, yeah, but it is. So, they've done an awesome job and really leading away in terms of supplements out there. You know, between them, one of our sponsors on it, you know, yeah, we love their stuff. And
they do the exact same thing. That white area, that white space of your industry, I think that is the most important thing I've taken from, you know, talking with Tom. Is you can list all the facts you want, you can be as scientific as you want with whatever you're interested in, but if you're not thinking differently, if you're not figuring out ways how to, I guess, deliver a product, keep value, keep integrity, but be different, you're pretty much just doing the same thing over and over. And it does take balls, it does take a lot of, like, courage to be that risky in business.
Yeah.
And I think the ones who become the most successful are the ones who take that biggest risk.
Yeah, definitely, man.
So it's a great example for everyone out there trying to start a business.
Or, you know, currently in business, you know. You got to have your point of difference.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you've got to deliver quality.
Yeah.
And consistency every single time.
And trust the people that you've chosen to be around are going to stay committed. Because shit gets difficult, you know. Every great product or every great thing that we know all had that moment where they probably were going to pack it in.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and Tom and his partners had a successful business that they closed down because it wasn't something they loved. So it's probably another little good point to take away for everyone out there. Do something you'd love.
Yeah, man. Great point, man.
Definitely. All right, guys. Thanks again for tuning in. And just remember, if you could please subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, or Stitcher. Leave us a quick 5-star review if you've got iTunes. That'll be very, very appreciated. Got any feedback or any guest requests, send them through at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Before we go, little shout out to Onnit, Johnny.
Yeah, check Onnit out, our sponsor. Go to our website, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/Onnit. Check out all their products they have to offer. Name drop them: Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech, The t-shirts are awesome. I'm rocking the Joe D on it shirt, strength shirt right now. They also have the stories behind the products. They have kettlebells. They have the mace. The mace is picking up a lot of steam online. I'm seeing these coaches posting these videos of the shoulder rotation, shoulder mobility. Whenever you choose what you want, you're going through the checkout, use keyword vision board to receive 10% off of all your purchases.
You know what I might actually buy? Joe, when we were at Joe's place, he gave us those...
The grips?
No, those beef jerky things. Did you eat yours?
I did.
I liked it.
It was like very close to meat. Know what I'm saying? It wasn't like the typical beef jerky dried flat sort of thing.
That's not huge in Australia.
Was that an Honored product?
Yeah, it was.
Is that on the website?
It's called... I think it's like buffalo or something. I have to check it out and leave it for you guys. It was super awesome.
Yeah, it was thick. I think that might have been a demo product, but I do remember that. I remember how starving and
I want to get a box of those things. When you think about traveling and being on the road, it's not a bad little handy sort of little bar to have.
It would be very efficient. I mean, it's protein, iron... and it's not synthetic. I'm pretty sure was it venison or was it beef?
It might have been venison.
Yeah, I thought it was deer. Deer, maybe. Yeah, but yeah, that's an interesting thing. If anyone's listening, I wonder if that's even up for sale.
Yeah, if you want to send us a box, guys.
Guys, please, we're hungry. Yeah, buddy.
And guys, remember to pick up your free ebook too, guys. Check it out on the website, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Little abs, not little, it's going to be pretty brutal, actually. Yeah, abs routine.
Abs are not easy, man. Yeah,
me and Johnny actually put ourselves through, so check it out, free download. And it's also on the homepage, so get your little ebook on.
Yeah, man, the reason why I find that why I was like stoked about releasing that specific product was the fact that I knew, and you both knew as well, that we would never be the biggest dudes. You know, we're not really pumping ourselves up with like synthetic, you know, sort of supplements. So the one thing we could control though is how like our conditioning, how ripped we could get, how strong we could get. And that, I think when you see a guy who walks around all year lean, naturally, athletically, I think that's a testament to his work ethic.
I think it's a great look now. Yeah, man. I think now the athletic look.
Yeah, man. Not only in the gym, but it's a testament to your work ethic everywhere else. Because if you're doing it naturally and you're at least, especially if you're over the age of 30, like we are, it just goes to show you how disciplined you can be and what it looks like to have that hard work pay off.
Yeah, we're getting old, aren't we, brother?
We are getting old, man. 34. We're only as young right now as we'll ever be. Philosophy 101.
Johnny, it's been a pleasure, my man.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you very soon.
Yes, sir. Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.